In the last episode of New Year's Day, Amelie received the severed head of Joey's father with a message that read, "Do not disappoint me again."
Oh, I've deafened myself.
Amelie then reconnected with the woman whose life she saved by turning them into a ghoul, and encountered the hunter she previously battled, Gabriel Valdez, who knew her identity and indicated a desire to cooperate. Meanwhile, Quinn, high on Diablery, and Joey, ravenously hungry, traveled to Safe Haven. Joey told Quinn his plan to kill his sire, Father Mendoza, to protect his sister. On the way, Joey frenzied and murdered a cab driver. After hiding the body, Amelie and Quinn spoke on the phone, and Joey frenzied for the third time of the night after learning that his father was murdered. In Greek mythology, there was a peerless engineer and craftsman named Daedalus. He was imprisoned with his son Icarus in the legendary labyrinth by King Minos for aiding his enemies. Daedalus devised a way to escape with his son, pair of wax wings that would allow them to fly to freedom. However, his son Icarus, drunk on his new freedom and heedless of his father's warnings, flew too close to the sun, which melted his wax wings and sent him crashing down to his death. Daedalus, however, successfully flew to freedom. With that in mind, let's sink our fangs into episode 14, Razor's Edge.
Let's.
It is...
Shut the fuck up.
A quarter to one when Quinn and Joey arrive at a bowling alley with a upper floor apartment in the neighborhood of Lincoln Park on the north side of Chicago. The bowling alley has a bright red facade modeled on an old-fashioned fire station. A neon orange sign proclaims this to be Firehouse Bowl. The apartments built on top of the alley have a small placard advertising Sovereign Realty. For Quinn, this familiar sight is an oasis for the human spirit.
This is it. My home.
Looks nice. It's... Wait, why are you living on top of a bowling alley?
My mom knew the owners.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. You go in, up the stairs, and into an apartment, your haven, which I'll let you describe, Alex.
Yeah. So, the apartment is colorful, messy, and full of art and fake plants. It's a one bedroom, so the living room and kitchen are kind of one. And the kitchen is kind of the only part of the apartment that's not a mess. There are many cozy places to sit, and also some weird odds and ends that Quinn either got from the bowling alley or from thrifting.
This is real nice. Do you have a washing machine or something?
Yep, I do. In unit, actually.
Mm-hmm. Joey asking is covered once again with the blood of the cab driver.
Because these are the only clothes I have.
I might have something that can fit.
Quinn, once more, I get to remind you, as you begin to head to your room, you have with you the severed arm.
Oh, yeah!
The cab driver.
I do. Before we go to my room... Let me open my fridge, my now empty fridge, because I can't eat food, and I'm going to put it in there.
Absolutely. Just slop it on there. It's leaking a little bit. It is, as you said, in there, a much more unpleasant sight now that you have come down from the high of Diablery.
Yeah. I thought this slumber party would be more fun.
Well, we still have to get in touch with Amelie.
Right. Let's get you some clothes. Like, I've got... I mean,
I don't have any other clothes.
I like oversized sweatshirts. So I got a sweatshirt and some sweatpants.
Perfect. I'll take it. I'll take anything.
Not very fashionable, but you'll be comfy.
Something I haven't felt in a while. So that sounds good.
Oh. Okay. I hand Joey the clothes in my room with a cozy nest-like chair. And then I'm going to find my laptop and navigate to Instagram.
I'm going to throw out my clothes. I'm going to throw them out. There's no getting those back. I'm just going to sit there knowing that there's nothing I can do right now. Staring at the photo of my little sister. Mm-hmm.
You are overcome with deep...
Frenzy,
painful...
one more time.
You're overcome currently with deep and painful remorse at the inhuman act of murder you've committed and the knowledge that even though all the pain and trauma that your father inflicted upon you growing up, to you, perhaps even subconsciously, he symbolized a tie to your humanity. And with the loss of your father, violently, you've lost that conviction. However, you, feeling remorse for these acts that have been inflicted both upon you and by you, you retain your humanity. As you get changed into a much cozier attire that's even a little oversized on you too, but fits.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna message Amelie. What am I gonna message Amelie? What should I tell her?
Let her know where we are so she can get here.
To here?
Here.
You want her to come here?
Not really, but I think it might be easier than trying to text her.
Okay.
I don't trust any of the internet stuff. They can see what you want. They can see what you're saying.
Okay. I'll message her to come to my apartment. I'm going to send her the address. How's that?
Perfect.
Great. I'm also going to grab a piece of paper and write down her phone number.
Where is Amelie heading after leaving behind her stolen motorcycle and the cooler with LJ's father's head?
I'm just going home.
Sure. You begin the long...
I got an Uber. I'm so done with all this shit. I need another fucking car. So I'm gonna go pick one up. I'll steal daddy's car or something.
Sure. Take an Uber ride to...
Your car's still there.
Well, yeah, but somebody knows that there's a fucking severed head in the...
No, your actual car.
No, we left it.
Oh, that's
by
Cliff's.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I'll just go get my car at Cliff's then.
You Uber there?
Yeah. Sorry, metagaming,
absolutely.
But...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You take an Uber to The Loop, the site of the Office of Crown Capital Real Estate and Investments. And...
Yeah, maybe I'll talk to Cliff while I'm here.
You do not find your car waiting for you.
Sorry.
Sucks to suck, motherfucker.
Wait, well, because... Don't I have some sort of... Do rich people have, like, a GPS to track their cars?
Let's say...
Do you have an AirTag?
Like, my parents might know. They might have something
on
me.
Absolutely. I will say, yeah. I will say you can... talk to your parents about that, absolutely.
Oh okay, well, let me dial up father.
Your dad, roll a dice for me. Just a single die.
Blank.
Blank.
At all costs.
Do you want it?
No.
It's a new session.
No.
Darling!
Phone crumples and nothingness in your hand. The
we lose
cracks,
both our phones.
The call goes through.
My dad's not a self. Sorry.
The call reaches his voicemail. It is quite late at night.
Oh my god, he's never done anything for me. Alright, do I see any lights on at this real estate company?
They're actually at this point in the night. No.
Okay.
Do you leave any messages?
No.
All right.
I'm going to go back home.
Absolutely. You're able to take another Uber home. And I'll say once more, you reach your family's luxurious estate. An estate is the right word. It is the modern equivalent of a noble's domain within the Gold Coast area of Chicago. An old money manor house. Gated with a sprawling driveway, with a fountain, with various sculptures. The water comes from the maw of a dragon. And you turn home?
New shit.
Hell yeah. All right.
Smart.
I'm going to go in. Has my phone rung yet with the Instagram message?
I'll say that, like, once you get inside and start to recuperate for the night, what is this sort of, like, the general sort of, like, winding down relaxation activity?
Oh, I'm relaxing?
Or I guess whatever you want to do once you
get
home.
Looking for weapons. I'm looking for more knives, guns.
Parents actually decorate the house with a variety of armaments. There are swords, axes, there's some, like, flintlock firearms on the walls.
Ooh. Oh, shit. Well, okay, it's gonna look very suspicious if I take them, so, you know, I'm just gonna grab, you know, the gun, the flintlock gun, and I'm just gonna write a little message that it's, you know, for a project for school, just so it's not a problem at all. No one's following me or anything. But just to let them know that I have it and it's not missing.
With bayonet attached.
And while I'm here, I'm just going to grab some garlic and just kind of put it like out for like on the counter. Mm-hmm. And just kind of as a incentive for my parents to cook with. Maybe like a little note like, please put this in our next meals, you know, for the servants or something. Mm-hmm. Just to keep them safe.
Absolutely. Certainly do that. And it is as you're preparing the garlic and note that you receive that message from Quinn.
That's me. Now.
Oh, now. Okay. Do I have... What other vehicles we got here? How can I tap into my resources, perhaps?
Yeah, like, what about your helicopter?
Certainly.
Yeah, do I get a helicopter?
A variety of cars. Ooh. Owned by your parents that you can avail yourself of.
I would like an Aston Martin, please. Do I get one of those? Or maybe a McLaren? Can I have a Ferrari?
F1? Definitely they own a Ferrari, for sure.
Ooh.
A Model T.
Very nice. Do I have to roll?
No need. Necessary.
I get a Ferrari.
Yeah,
amazing.
I love Empire of the Master.
How many seats are in the How many seats are in the Ferrari?
I'll say you are taking without asking, but
yeah. Mm-hmm. So you can fit.
Okay.
In the trunk.
Why are you running over all these bumps? Bam, 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 bam.
And so I'll grab this, grab the flintlock. You know what? Fuck it. There was an axe and a sword.
Mm-hmm.
Grab an axe.
Grab them all.
Absolutely.
And then I'll start heading out.
I'll let you decide what color is this Ferrari.
Ooh, it's going to be like a deep red.
Mmm, excellent. So the rumble of an engine of this powerful machine as you drive out into the night, armed to the teeth, towards Lincoln Park, which is not too far.
Oh, not at all.
Yeah, no. Very close, in fact. As you go to your apparently your neighbor Quinn,
nice.
Besties.
Sorry. Do the two of you do anything in that interim?
So, I don't know how much time we have, and I know he's waiting to see the next mistake. But the issue is we've already done so many things that it's only a matter of time till he finds the next mistake.
Okay.
So we have to get a pinpoint on where my sister is. We can check out my house. It's out in Evanston.
Oh, okay.
And we...
LJ can afford Evanston?
You think she's gonna be in Evanston?
She might. Unless I took her. And if they took her, then... that means she's probably over in Gary, Indiana. Somewhere where Father Mendoza can hold that chip over my head.
We checked there, but maybe I could help us out by using my premonitions?
You could do that? Can you try to see where she is?
I don't know how it works exactly, but I'll think of her. Hopefully try to find her.
Is there anything I can do? Is you can do that?
And Quinn is not feeling super confident right now, but they're going to try.
You can do it.
Quinn knows that if they call upon the power of their vitae, the blood of Cain, they can tap into that sort of extrasensory perception.
Mm-hmm. It's just the one.
Just the one, Rose.
Sorry, friend.
All good. No, all good.
Ankh.
Oh. Ankh, a success.
Oh, yeah.
Quinn.
Sorry.
Veins throbbing with newfound power. Does not get hungrier as they tap into the power of their blood. And their vision dissolves, warps, and reforms. They see a red bowling ball rolling, rolling down a lane. At the end of the lane, there is the standard arrayment of pins, but there are faces, faces contorted in terror on those pins. Almost as if looking in the reflection of a lake, but on bowling pins. And this ball is speeding, speeding towards those pins. And blood is bubbling out of the gutters. And the blood begins to seep onto the lane. And the bowling ball begins to swerve and spin and seemingly teetering on the edge of the gutter, but making its course to those pins. Ever getting closer to those pins. Slowing, slowing. But you don't know if the bowling ball strikes those pins or not. By the time all fades to black, your vision in the present moment returns to you.
Do I recognize any of the faces?
Make a... Actually, no, I'm going to say wits plus auspex.
Oh, okay. Two onks.
Two onks. The faces were distorted in the reflection as they were on the bowling pins, but there was a definite familiarity to some of them. It was like just many, many faces cramped together and reflected.
What did you see?
I'll say with two successes, you recognize one face. Rachel Sparks.
Fuck.
What can you tell me about Stella?
Well, I didn't see Stella specifically. I didn't even really see anything related to her, as far as I could tell. So,
what did you see?
Bowling.
Bowling.
I saw bowling.
All right.
You know, it seems like the future isn't known yet. The outcome isn't known yet. So, maybe there's still time.
Still time
for us to rescue Stella.
Yeah, maybe there's still time. You're right.
Right.
You're right.
Because, you know, bowling balls go wherever. They have their own mind. And I'm a really good bowler, so.
You know, that sounds good.
Good.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Is the bowling alley open?
No.
Like, could we go in right now?
We could probably go in. But it's not open.
I mean, if we're sitting here waiting for Amelie, you might as well pass the time.
Okay.
I just need anything to get my
mind.
This has been a terrible night.
Let me go find my spare key. All
right.
And I'm going to go into the other room.
Absolutely.
They don't see this, but I'm like crumpling into a ball on whatever chair is near me. Just like sitting down panicking. Because I don't know anything about bowling. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm there. I don't think I've ever bowled in my life. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, this is the information I have. This is what I have to go with. I'm like, yep. Stay positive.
Quinn, you're very easily able to find those spare keys.
Yeah,
is there anything else you'd like to do while you're separated?
I just needed a minute to think about what I just saw, because I didn't want to tell Joey what I saw, because there's no use getting him nervous if it might not even involve Stella, even though I was trying to think of Stella, but I still don't really fully understand how that works, so I'm gonna breathe and I'll go back to Joey.
They're coming back into me just like doing like quick breaths like and trying to heal myself.
Absolutely.
Because I'm in horrific condition.
I believe. Yeah, you can just make one rouse check for that superficial.
Yeah, I want to take care of the superficial first.
Have you rolled for the aggravated tonight? I don't think so.
I for sure have.
I have not.
Right, because you were.
Oh, you know, said, I want to get rid of the sunlight damage.
Right,
which
because
is
you only
three
had,
rouse
yeah, so that's going to be one for superficial.
That's one healed, and then yes, Ankh on the second one, two. So, got two open bars of health, and I'm only two hunger. I failed one, so two hunger.
Lots. Leo, it's getting pretty bad. The beast whispers to you, insidiously, in the voice of your sister.
It's okay. I'll get you, little sis. It's okay.
We're not strong enough to deal with everything out there.
No, we're not. But we have friends. It's okay.
You should take the strength that we need.
I can't bear that. I can't. I can't do this alone.
Internally, or perhaps under your breath, you mutter that.
Oh, it's definitely under my breath. At this point, I've had so many mental breaks at this point that I'm like, I there's no internal or external anymore.
Quinn rejoins you.
I got the keys.
Let's go bowling.
Okay.
And the two of you head downstairs to the retro bowling alley that is Firehouse Bowl. You're able to get in without issue, and as you do, I'd say, know your way around, and I'd say you've worked part-time here before, so you're aware of how to operate this machinery, get it up and running as it rumbles to life. Amelie arrives on the scene.
I'll park the car, keep all the goodies inside for now.
Does not see any lights upstairs, but does see light from within, coming from within the bowling alley.
I'll try the door.
The door's unlocked. You see a bastion of campy Americana. Firehouse Bowl offers 12 classic bowling lanes with retro, glow-in-the-dark graffiti art illuminated by violet and blue lighting. The dining area has red leather booths and tables with chairs shaped like fire hydrants, and a themed bar built to look like the side of a fire truck. There is no music or flashing lights. The arcade machines are silent, like massive tombstones in their corner of the bowling alley. But the main lights are on, and there is one lane operating with Quinn and Joey at it. And the two of you both clearly hear the door open in this otherwise dead silent bowling alley and the footsteps of Amelie approaching you.
Hey, Amelie, welcome to the party.
Thanks for coming. And we are bowling.
Well, you cut me off on the phone. What, did you lose connection or something?
Something's more?
Yes. I rampaged and I destroyed their phone.
I don't have a phone anymore.
Oh my gosh.
And I killed a man before that, actually, too.
Wait. You murdered another innocent person?
Yes. And now Father Mendoza is going to murder my little sister.
It's a lot.
It's a lot to unpack here.
And we have to go to Evanston and then maybe Gary, Indiana.
Yes.
And you, do you have more to tell us?
When I was at the hospital, I ran into the hunter we met at Mercy's apartment.
Oh my god.
It was a setup.
He's alive? Well,
what happened? How'd you get out?
Well, he wasn't much of a threat. He was fully covered in bandages, a neck brace, his arm was in a sling, and he can't even walk right now. We took a minute to talk, and he's actually a pretty nice guy. His name is Gabriel Valdez. He got off with Nathaniel. Apparently they worked out some sort of deal, which, I mean, made sense because, you know, he was so chummy with Mercy, so...
No, he didn't cut a deal with Nathaniel.
What, you think he murdered Nathaniel?
Wait, why do you think he's a nice guy? He tried to kill us.
We tried to kill him.
Well, to be fair, from his perspective, we're kind of monsters.
And we were kind of rampaging through his sister's apartment.
Okay.
But that's... He's trying to cut a deal with you?
No, he cut a deal with Nathaniel.
There's no way he cut a deal with Nathaniel.
His sister cut a deal with Nathaniel. There was some sort of boon he had to work out for her, so obviously she's done something for him. Anyways, we talked, and he is a whole group of hunters that work with him that are trying to bring down the Camarilla, perhaps, or some sort of...
Oh my gosh.
They don't want them to be in power anymore. They don't want that power to exist.
And why did he let you go?
Because I'm not against that either.
What?
I just don't see why Isabella and the prince and everyone should have the say in control of our lives. Maybe Roman's right.
You wanna... What do you want, exactly?
I just... want some control over my life again.
You're not the only one. I'm gonna, like, pensively, like, look between, like, the two of them.
I'm gonna shut my mouth and look away.
Now, don't judge too harshly.
I am bewildered right now by what I'm hearing, so I'm just gonna stare at the bowling alley and hope that calms me down.
Look, I didn't do much with my life. I wasn't a great guy. I was a burnout in high school who was suffering from an array of mental health problems and didn't have anything to turn to other than drugs. I hurt my family. I hurt everyone around me. I took everything that I could because that's all I knew. And to tell you the truth, I've been doing pretty much the same when I got into this life. I went from being under the boot of my father, my family, to being under the boot of another person. And I just want to stop this cycle of pain and torment I feel. Like, as I'm speaking, as I'm saying this, my body is shuddering. I don't want to be a part of this anymore. I don't want to hurt people. I don't want to kill people. But I can't stop losing control. It's just like back when I was immortal. I couldn't control myself around it. I had hunger. Constantly. I always needed more. I was always chasing that dragon. One day, it was a crystal. The next day, I'm smoking an entire pack. I just chased the high every time, and it feels like I'm in the same life here, but I feel like at least there's a chance that I could turn away from that. There's a chance that I could better myself. I'm stronger now, but I'm still very weak. But my sister... She didn't deserve any of this. She didn't deserve to grow up with a fuck-up like me, with parents who are abusive. She didn't deserve any of that. She was a little nugget of goodness in my life. My only star. Now she's in danger. And I never gave a fuck about the Camarilla or the Sabbat or the Anarchs. I don't give a shit about any of this. I just want to get out. I want to take whatever I have left. And leave.
if you murder another innocent victim just walking by, I will be the one to stop you for good.
I don't plan on it. I never planned to murder a single person. I couldn't stop myself.
I know. It's... You weren't... This wasn't meant for any of us. And it's time we finally do something about it.
Quinn, out of all of us, you're the only one who really had a chance in Camarilla society. And I understand if you don't want to give that up.
Quinn is going to look away from the pins, not say anything, and walk away.
You head to the shoe counter, an area you are intimately familiar with.
Perhaps that was too much all at once.
I don't think it's ever going to be something that's easy to hear.
I'll help you find your sister.
Thank you. I think we should tell. I'll tell the prince about my sire. He's a criminal here. He is an ex-Sabbat leader, an elder, and he's not allowed to be in the territory of Chicago. But that's where he sired me. So his involvement in this territory makes him an issue for the prince. So perhaps if I can reveal this information to him, try to come clean, show that I want to establish a good relationship with him, he could allow us to hunt Father Mendoza. And with his allowance, we could then inform the hunters on where he is. Work on a plan.
You need to know where your sister is before you just kill the guy, though.
That's why we need to go to Evanston first. To my house.
Oh my gosh.
If she's not there, then that means she's with Father Mendoza, which makes his whole plan a lot harder, because then we can't chloroform a whole church, which I never thought I'd be saying that, but apparently everything's going to go wrong tonight.
Everything always goes wrong.
You know, I'm kind of picking up on that vibe. I don't think anything's going to go our way.
He's told you that Gary, Indiana, has been, for many, many years, a contested domain between the Toreador Prince Modius and the Bruja Anarch Baron Juggler. Father Mendoza received hospitality and membership in the Camarilla from Prince Modius before he disappeared. And the decision to accept him in the Camarilla was more or less a middle finger to the Prince of Chicago.
There's multiple people trying to control that state. It hasn't been decided yet. And the Prince of the Camarilla sect out there fucking hates the Prince here. I don't think we need to worry about anyone snitching. Well, I am worried about my sister. The three of us, look at everything we've made it through until now. We made it through it by working together. We can...
You were talking about taking on a centuries-old institution. We've been vampires for a week to want to fucking take down the Camarilla after being undead for a fucking week.
I just want to get rid of Father Mendoza. Hopefully Floyd, but that might be too much to ask for, and leave with my sister. That's all I want. I just want to disappear.
And what do you want, Amelie?
I want Isabella to stop breathing down my neck. I want to figure out what to do with Roman. Want my own life back.
You're both insane.
Yeah.
Would it be more insane to just pretend everything is okay? That we're living in some perfect fantasy land where people can snap our necks whenever they want?
You're right on that note. It's not a just system. We don't know anything about the hunters. We're rushing into this completely blind. We need more information. Let's go to Evanston. Let's go find your sister, or we'll find her.
Thank you.
But we gotta think before we take that step.
Well, I have presents for you both in the car, if you would like to come out.
I have to do one thing first. I'm gonna grab the bowling ball next to me. I'm gonna run up and I'm gonna take one shot.
Alright, make a strength athletics roll.
I swear to God, if I go into a frenzy right now.
What color is the bowling ball that you used?
It's like a sparkly gold one.
Okay.
It's a light ball. It's like a
six.
Not a six. Okay. It's an 8-pounder. It's an 8-pounder.
Okay. Sure.
A little sparkly gold 8-pounder.
Mm-hmm.
It's one onk.
One onk.
At any cost.
Oh my god.
The ball rolls down the aisle and it swerves a little bit to the right and you knock out 4 pins.
Show him how it's done, Quinn.
Fine. I go and pick up the red bowling ball and I throw.
Strength plus the corresponding skill with your specialty. And the specialty adds an additional dice.
One regular onk, one onk with stars.
Quinn, the red ball rolls down the aisle with practiced precision, and it obliterates the remaining pins, resulting in a spare.
Shit.
Told you. This only works with you. Now let's go see what gifts we got.
All right, both of you. Close your eyes and put out your hands?
No.
What? Quinn, I thought you were the one who said we needed to have trust.
I burnt down my house today.
Oh, yeah.
Wait. Did you get us?
Okay, fine. For you, Joey, I'm going to give him the flintlock pistol.
The rifle?
Yes, rifle, sorry.
Sweet. Where's the ammunition?
What do you mean? Is it not already loaded?
You just have loaded guns on the wall?
It is not, unfortunately.
Oh.
But you can definitely stab with it.
Yeah.
It's more for intimidation. And for you, Quinn, I will give Quinn the axe.
I'll say if you wanted to find some shot and powder, you could have as well.
But I did not.
Right. I also
now that's some character play.
Yeah,
right
there. I respect the commitment.
You have an axe now.
Oh, thank
it
you.
It is a long 15th century horseman's axe.
Okay.
It's a halberd.
It is, but it's about half the length of like a full arm.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, don't thank me yet. I do have to give them back eventually, but
I can't promise it'll be in the same condition.
You know, it's just for emergencies, but... All right, get in. We'll go to Evanston.
Mm. Hold on. I gotta close down. I'm gonna go inside. How soundproof are the walls?
Not especially.
Do I care? I really need to scream. I'm gonna scream. Should I?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. Oh, fuck. Fuck! Okay. Fuck. All right, we're good. I'm gonna close everything down.
With practiced ease.
We're gonna go to my house.
It is not a long trip. Definitely not a long trip at all. Mm-hmm. If Amelie uses her driving skills to put pedal to the metal.
You want me to roll?
Hey. I'm not a backseat driver.
I'll say for.
Are you in the backseat? I want to be in the backseat.
This encounter.
Yeah, I was in the front. This is the first time I get this in the front seat.
Yeah, I'm going to be in the backseat.
Get your coterie to the location that LJ describes, Joey describes in short order.
Mm-hmm. Quinn's in a funk.
In a town of mostly upper middle class bourgeois houses. Familiar and haunting yellow house at the top of the hill.
I'm gonna put my hand on Joey's shoulder and just say,
I'm shaking a little.
A lot of fond and awful memories in this place.
I'm sorry you had to grow up in such a heinous place. The houses are just so unkept here. The lawns, ugh, it must have been terrible.
You know, my dad used to tell me every time I messed up. He said I didn't mean to have you. He said that every day that I'm alive, I should be grateful. Sitting here looking at that house, I used to think he was so big and terrifying. But after all the shit that we've been through, I'm realizing how small of a man he was. You know that big scar that I had going down my head?
Yeah.
That was from him.
What?
It's from one of the times when he beat me. But this night was different. Something must have happened at work. Or something like that, but I was late too often for my class, and the school called. My mom wasn't there to pick it up, but my dad was. And even when my mom came back, she didn't say anything. She didn't stop him. She just watched. But I don't know what's happened the past couple years. I haven't been home. She hasn't been allowed to talk to me. I couldn't see her. I was kicked out. I didn't get a second chance. But she deserves every chance.
It's not too late. For her or for you. Your dad, however, his tiny head is in a cooler that I left out somewhere.
That's fitting.
Nathaniel's rats will get to him faster.
I hope they do.
And I park the car.
I like shake my arms and my legs. I try to like loosen myself up as I like contort my back out a little bit and then hunch forward. And like as I hunch forward, the shadow starts to like seep out of my back. And I kind of get into like a crouch position. I start like sneaking up to the house.
It is 2 a.m. and the house is dark.
There's this little statue of a golfer in the front yard. In the garden area by the flowers. Just under the base is a spare key. I'm going to grab it and I'm going to try to open the front door.
Fucking rich people.
A stealth plus dexterity roll.
Fuck. Stealth plus dexterity plus two more from my cloak. Two onks. Wait! I've got a willpower. I'm not going to use it. Two onks.
And the familiar front room of your house yawns open before you.
Her room is upstairs. It's the second room on the left.
All right. Good luck.
I'm gonna sneak my way up the stairs. I'm gonna go up to her door. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for anything, like, any signs of a struggle.
You creep up the stairs.
Can I share the sense?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. One rouse check, please.
No, I just look over and I've lost Quinn. Yeah.
I got a skull.
Ah, you do get hungrier.
Fuck.
As you deny the voice of your beast, I take a look at the Auspex rules. This is going to be resolve plus Auspex.
Cool. Two
successes. Just one short of the necessary amount.
I,
willpower?
I'm gonna use my last willpower, I guess.
Also, everybody, no, it is not a new night.
Nope.
It's not.
Same night.
So, yeah, same night.
Same night, different episode.
No.
This night has been so fucking long. Okay.
Yeah.
But I'm going to use my last willpower.
Sure. With zero willpower, the will to do pretty much anything is sapped.
Great. I was already in there anyways.
And,
so.
And there's a two dice penalty for anything after this.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no.
No.
Alas.
Nope.
Just the events of tonight have just been so awful, and it's all crashing down on you in this moment. Especially painfully, and you just get a flash of a darkened hallway, stairs with a red carpet over it, and then it's gone, and you're back in your own eyes.
Great. I'm gonna sit down on the floor.
LJ, you remember the places to step to avoid creaking on the stairs. As you arrive at Stella's familiar door, decorated with stars, it is unlocked. As you try to handle.
Open it.
You open it. Your dead eyes adjusting to what little light flitters through partially ajar curtains.
Hey, Stella, are you there? Stella.
The silence in response is deafening.
I'm gonna walk up to her bed.
Mm-hmm.
Gonna feel around. Do I?
I'd like a wits awareness roll.
Five onks. And one skull.
Five onks, alright. Five successes. As you feel around on this bed, you're immediately able to discern that she's not on it. And you're also able to feel a film of dust on it. She has not been in this bed for a long time.
No. I'm gonna go to the parents' room.
You know the parents' room? You know the way? It's a quick journey. Your footsteps pitter-patter across the floor, creaking with your urgency in this moment. As you open the door, a figure within the king-sized bed stirs. Louis? You hear the voice of your mother.
Yeah. I just got home late from work, that's all. It's all right, go back to bed.
Make a subterfuge plus manipulation roll with an extra dice because of your familiarity with your father's voice.
Oh, he's got this. Jinxed it.
I'm gonna use my willpower.
Your final willpower?
My final willpower.
Absolutely. You have no more willpower?
I've got no... So wait, how many dice... I reroll three, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Or you can use...
At any cost.
At any cost.
He doesn't got this.
Oh my god, he's got
Four onks?
Holy shit.
Yeah. Hey. Hey, Mar. Where'd we put Stella tonight?
What are you talking about, Louis? She hasn't been home in a year.
Who was that place we sent her off to? What was the name of it? I can't ever remember.
So, you had a rough day, huh? And you can hear a tone of fear creeping into her voice.
I'm sorry, Mom. It's not that. It's me. Look, I...
Leo?
Yeah, but you don't want to see me right now.
She shifts, and you can hear the sound of her getting out of the bed.
Please don't look at me, please. Look, I'm... I hold tight onto the doorknob. Look, Mom.
You hold the door shut, and she tries it.
Don't...
Leo?
Don't look... Shh. Please don't look at me, Mom.
Leo, what?
Look, I'm in some really bad business. They killed Dad.
What?
Louis's dead. Please, Stella's next.
Please, you're scaring me. What?
I'm scared too. Look, there's a lot I can't tell you, Ma.
What are you doing here? Why are you talking about your... Louis's been late home, but he's not dead. He's just on a bender.
No.
He's been... Work has been very, very stressful. He's been...
They sent me his head. With a note in the mouth.
Make a charisma plus persuasion roll.
Two, three. Three onks.
Yeah.
You're not safe either. I'm so sorry.
I can't be.
I got...
You feel her tugging harder at the door. Leo.
You don't want to see me. Please. It'll break your heart.
Leo, what's going on?
Some really bad people. And
They force me to be with them. And I've been doing my best to survive. But now they brought you guys into it. From the very start, they said if I didn't do it, if I didn't join, they'd kill you. And I've been doing terrible things, Ma. Terrible. And I finally figured out a way to get out. And I'm gonna take Stella with me. I just need to know where she is. I need to know she's safe.
I don't know where she is, Leo.
What do you mean? It's been a year.
She ran away from home a year ago.
I'm gonna let go of the doorknob.
She very weakly opens the door. Do you maintain your face?
What does that mean?
Maintain?
I can't. I've already tried to heal aggravated damage tonight.
It is similar but different.
What would I have to do?
It would take 3 Rouse checks.
If I fail 3 Rouse checks, I kill her.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Kill your mom.
Don't kill your mom, but do it.
Can we hear what's going on?
Cannot, unfortunately.
What about with heightened senses?
If you put heightened senses up, you absolutely can.
What's going on, Quinn?
Would you have put it up as soon as it failed to look through my senses?
I'm going to say make a resolve plus... A wits plus resolve roll.
Resolve plus...
Plus wits.
Okay.
To have this sort of presence of mind to do that since you're out of willpower.
Ooh.
4 onks.
4 onks. You're able to, once that fails, you have the presence of mind, despite your sort of drained state, use heightened senses.
Okay.
Failure.
What is your hunger currently at?
4.
4. Alright.
Success.
Oh.
Success. God. You are on the edge of the most hungry that you can be, but you dig deep and call upon the blood to contort and mend the flesh of your face, and it is agonizing as your sort of hair sort of slides back into your skull, melding with the flesh. Keratin, bone, skin, muscle, all becomes one flesh as you heal the effects of the terrible discipline of vicissitude in order to spare your mother the horror of what was done to you. Your skin moves and melts and returns to your original visage, the face you died with. She slowly opens the door.
I love you, Mom.
And looks upon you. You can see her in the light. An older Italian-American woman with long hair, beautiful brown eyes. She looks at you, tears in her eyes, and love. And she pulls you close. Her embrace is warm, strong, and you're horrified by the temptation that that warm body is, but you have enough presence to not fall upon her as a predator. As you share this tender embrace with your long estranged mother.
Mom, I'm so sorry. I felt stuck. I gotta make it right.
It's okay, LJ. I love you. And it's going to be okay.
There's a lot I can't tell you. For your sake. And I want you to remember this. You have to leave. You gotta go. You're not safe. You gotta leave now. But I'm gonna find Stella.
No.
I'm gonna find her. And I swear I'll bring her back to you. No matter what.
I can't lose you again, Leo.
I promise you, I'll bring Stella to you, but you gotta leave.
We can get through this. She sort of holds you and looks in your eyes. Tears flowing freely down her face. No. We can get through this together, Leo. Now that you're back, we can find Stella. And we can be a family again.
I look away for like a second. My eyes look to the side.
the realization rushes over me. I look back into her eyes and I smile softly. Yeah, you're right, Ma. We're gonna live somewhere where no one can find us, and we can all forget about this. I'm gonna make her forget ever seeing me tonight.
She is an unsuspecting mortal, and with ease, you're able to rob her of the memories of this encounter. Take a stain to your humanity as you rob her of her free will.
I'm so sorry, Mom. While she's in that state of disarray, I'm going to walk her back to bed and turn off the lights.
Louis, you're back.
Yeah. I'm back. I'll come to back to bed soon. Sleep well, Mar. And I'll close the door. I'm going to walk to my little sister's room. Get that little sock monkey that's sitting on a dresser. And I'm going to walk downstairs.
You receive 3 stains for also damaging a touchstone by your actions.
Oh.
By using the power of the blood on your own mother, who is one of your ties to humanity.
She's not here.
What happened? What took you so long?
Tell you in the car. We gotta get out of here.
Alright, let's go.
And as the 3 kindred, the coterie of New Year's Eve embraces returns in the wake of a family tragedy, that is where we will pause our chronicle for tonight.
Let's go.
Oh!
Nice.
Oh my god.
Oh, I've deafened myself.
Oh my god.
The ringing.